Another day, another Twitter fight. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Toyota is the latest company whose stock took a hit after a presidential-elect tweet. The president-elect threatened to punish the carmaker for its plans to build Corollas in Mexico. The move actually would move production out of Canada, not the U.S. With more on this is Marketplace's Lewis Wallace. Lewis, the president-elect has really ramped up the tweets targeting individual companies this week. Catch us up.
Yeah, so he's been tweeting quite a bit about the big border tax he says he'll impose on stuff being made in Mexico and sold in the U.S. This week, he also threatened GM about that on Twitter. But Toyota is a foreign company, so that's a new twist. And now Toyota was on the defensive. It responded to the tweet saying it is a good corporate citizen in the U.S. Toyota does have 10 plants here and around 136,000 employees.
Now, some economists say it might not be legal to have a big border tax these days, but there is some precedent back in the 80s for this kind of pressuring, especially of Japanese companies to build cars in the U.S., right?
Right. So in the early 80s, Ronald Reagan's administration put quotas on how many foreign-made Japanese cars could be sold in the U.S., and then a few things happened, good and bad. Toyota and Honda and Nissan reacted, and they sped up the process of building new factories here. But consumers also paid for that protectionism. In the short term, car prices went up. Productivity also went down. Factories in the U.S. cut tens of thousands of jobs while U.S. auto profits soared. All that's according to a Brookings study on those 1980s quotas.
Now, even if it is not possible in the end for President-elect Trump to impose a border tax that targets specific companies, is there not a certain power he's wielding just by, you know, trashing brands on Twitter?
Sure. You mentioned stocks have fallen. Today, the Japanese government is also defending the company. Other companies have to be thinking, at least in the short term, about how to avoid getting tweeted at by the president-elect.
All right. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is about even. The Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq futures are holding steady as well, with the Dow future down just 11 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is actually down quite a bit more than it was this time yesterday, more than 0.1% at 2.35%. We get the December jobs report from the Labor Department in about an hour and a half. It will be the last jobs report of the Obama administration, and economists are expecting roughly 175,000 jobs added last month. Some of them will be manufacturing jobs, but for many workers, not enough of them and not the right kind. While manufacturing output in the U.S. is back at 2008 levels, almost back to record highs, manufacturing jobs are not, not at all. From our bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
Manufacturers eliminated more than 2 million jobs in the Great Recession, and only a third of those jobs have been added back. In 2016, factories actually shed workers. The strong dollar, which makes U.S. exports more expensive overseas, hasn't helped. But economist Chad Moutre at the National Association of Manufacturers says since the November election, there's a lot more optimism.
The expectation out there that we're going to get tax reform, sensible regulation, hopefully there's going to be a huge infrastructure package.
Meaning new orders for steel, concrete, bulldozers, and the like. But if these employers do go looking for workers, they'll face a tight labor market, says economist Carl Tannenbaum at Northern Trust.
Manufacturers in many parts of the country report that they are struggling to find qualified workers, and yet we see a lot of former manufacturing workers seeking new opportunities.
The problem, says Tannenbaum, production workers who lost their jobs in the Great Recession may not have the technical skills to operate today's more advanced factories. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Sheffield, in the north of England, was once the world capital of steelmaking, but its biggest industry buckled under foreign competition in the 1980s and then all but faded away as emerging countries like China geared up their manufacturing capacity. Now, Sheffield faces the possibility of a big influx of investment from China. Not everyone in the city is happy at the prospect. From Sheffield, Stephen Beard reports.
Coming soon to Sheffield's Lyceum Theatre, an old favourite, the stage version of the hit movie The Full Monty. The story of some unemployed male steelworkers in Sheffield who turn to striptease to make ends meet. A funny but poignant reminder of the loss in the 1980s of this city's biggest industry, says economic historian Joe Maltby.
It is an optimistic film, but it's also an accurate depiction of the way that Sheffield was violated by industrial collapse.
But just around the corner from where the full Monty will be showing, the local council has unveiled a brazen plan that could massively boost the city's economy. Deputy Leader of the Council, Lee Bramall, has championed the potential deal with a Chinese construction billionaire.
Mr. Wong, the key investor, has enormous wealth, one of the richest men in China. So there's the potential for billions of dollars, pounds, to come into Sheffield.
The deal to redevelop the city is only under discussion, but it's highly controversial. The first phase could involve relocating the central library so that Mr. Wong can turn the iconic old building into a five-star hotel. Local opposition is growing.
I don't like it one little bit. I mean, I spend a lot of time in that library.
I think it's absolutely disgusting. I've used that library all my life.
And, you know, do we really want to do business with a country like China, which does have very dubious human rights record?
It's our city. It's not China's city. It's our city. And our heritage is being sold off to the Chinese.
But 30 years after the full Monty era, Sheffield has still not covered itself in all its former economic glory. The jobless rate here is 6%. That's above the national average. With Brexit looming, can this city, can this country afford to rebuff the Chinese? In Sheffield, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And shares of Gap, the clothing retailer, jumped 10% Thursday. This after strong December sales came as a big surprise to investors alarmed by large drops in sales for department store brands like Macy's and Kohl's, which had sent their stocks down double digits earlier this week. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.